John Kerry is visiting one of America's biggest trading partners in Latin America at a sensitive time.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The U.S. Secretary of State is in Brazil today, where economic ties with the United States run deep. Marketplace's Stan Alcorn has the story.
Brazil is the world's seventh largest economy and a force to be reckoned with. Secretary Kerry is dealing with a country angered by reports that the U.S. government, and specifically the NSA, was spying on its friends and trading partners.
So this is really a test of his diplomatic skills.
Diana Negroponte of the Brookings Institution.
He has no money in the bank. He has no aid project. He cannot go and promise any new investments.
The U.S. is in the running to clinch a $4 billion deal to supply aircraft to Brazil. Paulo Sotero of the Brazil Institute in Washington, D.C.
Brazil needs to modernize its fleet. There is a proposal that Brazil buys the F-18 fighter from Boeing.
Some Brazilian officials are calling this proposal into question after the NSA revelations. Clearly, Secretary Kerry's visit is not just about trade, but also about trust. In New York, I'm Stan Alcorn for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The key stock index in Shanghai went up 0.2% overnight. The Nikkei rose 2.6% for any other key index. That would be a lead story, but Japanese stock prices have been terribly volatile this year, and moves like that have become de rigueur. Stock index futures for the U.S. are up at the moment. The Dow closed down 5 points yesterday. We'll be watching JCPenney stock today as the company battles one of its big shareholders over how to best manage the troubled retail chain. There's news just now that the shareholder, William Ackman, just resigned from the Penny board. He has an 18% stake in the company. And the Canadian smartphone company BlackBerry is also having trouble finding its footing and has reportedly formed a committee to explore the idea of selling itself. Its shares are up 1.5% pre-market. A dispute is now flaring over The Rock, one of Britain's last remaining colonies. The spat over Gibraltar has now led Spain to impose extra checks on its border with the British territory. The problem is fishing. Today, the British government is threatening legal action. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard explains.
The dispute goes much deeper than fishing. Spain regards this foreign colony on the southernmost tip of its mainland as a national affront. But there's no doubt where the loyalties of the 30,000 people living in Gibraltar lie. In the latest referendum, 99% of them voted to stay British. The Spanish are threatening, among other things, to charge a levy on anyone crossing the border into Spain. It won't work, says senior British politician Ming Campbell.
It's a gross miscalculation to believe that either the people of Gibraltar or indeed the British government is likely to succumb to pressure of the kind that's being proposed.
Spain says it plans to raise the issue of this 300-year-old colonial relic at the UN, but the Gibraltarians can derive some comfort from the colony of Barbary apes still clinging to the rock. Folklore has it that British rule over the rock will continue so long as the apes remain, and they're breeding like crazy. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
I would argue that for many young adults, their first lesson in personal finance came in the form of little plush toys, the what goes up must come down lesson. In 1993, 20 years ago, Beanie Babies invaded America in McDonald's Happy Meals and all by themselves. They were said to be collectible, whatever that means, and both kids and adults got it into their heads that these beanies would only increase in value, sort of like the mortgage market or Dutch tulip bulbs. Well, Chris Robinson's dad fell into this way of thinking, eventually spending an estimated $100,000 on the stuffed critters. Chris joins us from Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So tell me, when did this Beanie Baby mania start for your family?
It was a few years after they had come out, and my brother saw one in the store, and he was a little kid, and I think the store owner told my dad they were going to be worth a lot, and these ones are are really rare. And so he kind of took that to heart and went a little crazy.
What was the idea? Your dad thought that maybe if this investment, if you can call it that, would work, it could gin up some money maybe to pay for education or something.
Yeah, it was because they had these books that were out and they would project the value in 10 years. And my dad was reading these books and he was taking them to heart, and he started 5 collections for each of my 4 brothers and myself. And we thought we were going to pay for our colleges with them.
It starts to get a little over the top, doesn't it? Almost compulsive.
He described it as kind of like a drug addiction, and it consumed every part of our lives. When they had these new releases, it was usually one per family. And so we'd have, you know, 6 kids in the car and all my brothers and myself and then neighbor kids. And we would be given, you know, here's $10, go buy the Beanie Baby. But you guys don't know each other because they won't let us have more than one. And so I'm pretty sure everyone in line knew what we were doing and they were a little irritated. But I guess they didn't want them as much as we did.
What do you think? How much do you suppose the family ended up spending on these things?
They gave me an estimate of 15 to 20,000 Beanie Babies, and I just kind of averaged the prices of the different kinds that they had, and that's where I came up with $100,000 or so.
The family still has these things?
Yeah, they're sitting in storage and in boxes, and then inside the boxes are Ziplocs full of each different kind.
In 2013, when you come across one of these plush toys, what's your reaction to seeing them?
Kind of bittersweet. I remember the times when I was caught up in it.
So you look back at that almost as good times.
Yeah, it was fun.
Chris Robinson is now in television in Los Angeles. The first 9 Beanie Baby plush toys, including Flash the Dolphin and Squealer the Pig, launched 20 years ago. Chris, thank you.
No problem, David.
Chris made an 8-minute documentary a couple of years back about his family's Beanie Baby mania. We put up a link at marketplace.org, and I just checked on eBay, and Beanie Baby Tie, Buy It Now, was going for 99 cents. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.